Good morning to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Glad you're here and glad the Lord is here. And we're here to worship Him, to be a servant. Popular thing this day and time. Not necessarily. To be a servant. Do you want to be a servant? What do you mean, a servant? I got to serve my wife. My wife's got to serve me. What do you mean? Somebody serves me when I go out to eat. I don't want to be a servant. You know, self-centeredness takes over. So now that you just really love all those kinds of words, I'll go on. To be a servant of the Most High God. What do you think about that? The Most High God. The one, this one, true and living God who sits on a throne in heaven. He says, I'm going to send Jesus, my son, to earth. And he's going to die for your sins. And then he's going to be raised on the third day. And we'll have this victory over hell, death, and grave. And the grave. And I'm giving you now, as sinful creatures, I'm giving you the opportunity to be a servant of the Most High God. Who would you serve today? Who would you like to serve? Well, you can name dignitary after dignitary. You could name high official, and I'd like to serve that person or be in his administration or this, that, or the other. And we can name kings, and on we could go. Who's the greatest person who ever lived? Somebody asked you that question, what would you say? You'd get several names, I guess, but it'll come back to the name of Jesus. It'll come back around to Jesus Christ because he alone changed the world more than any person. You say, well, he was God in the flesh. Yes, that divine nature. But he was also fully man, the Bible tells us. So this one person named Jesus has done more to change the world than anybody else throughout history. And how did he do it? Through servanthood. Through laying down his life that I could be saved and you could be saved. So this is Jesus. Now how can we be like Jesus? How can we be a servant? How can we be like Jesus? Well, some have said, well, you know, he was God, so and we're not. Well, now that's a true statement. He was God and we're not. But some people use it as an excuse not to be a servant. Well, he could rely on his divine nature. And that's true. He could rely on that. But it's not an excuse for us not to be a servant. Well, he never fell into temptation. And we do. That's also true. He didn't fall into temptation. And we do. Well, he was talking and ministering to people. And when he wasn't doing that, he was praying. And we don't have time to pray because we live such busy lives. Some have went as far as to say that the times are different. Life's faster, more complex. It's more complicated. And some have said in recent times, if Jesus were to come to earth today, he would have a difficult time being Jesus. And to that I say, hogwash. If Jesus come today, if he walked right in this building today in a human form, he would still be Jesus just the way he was thousands of years ago. The Bible says that Jesus is the same when? Yesterday, today, and forever. Is that true? That's true. It's what the Bible says. So to people trying to fit Jesus into what I want Jesus to be. I'll get Jesus fit into what fits my circumstances, and that's who Jesus will be. Don't try that. That's dangerous. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Savior of the world. This Bible tells us who Jesus is, and we need to stick with what the Bible says. Not who I want him to be to fit my way of life. Jesus is Jesus. And we praise him and thank him for being Jesus. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Now on the screen you'll see Matthew 20:20-28. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard about this, they were indignant and with the two brothers, and Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." I guess my mind got on this scripture, maybe thinking of Veterans Day, thinking of the people who stood up front and how they served our country. And then I got to thinking about how we, as born-again Christians, we bear the name of Christ, are to be servants of the Most High King. We're to be servants of Him. Jesus says here, "I have come into this world to serve, not to be served." Now, get a picture again who Jesus is. We were talking about this in Sunday school and what's the mental image of Jesus to you, and we all have one. But now, the creator of the heavens and the earth is who Jesus is. The creator of the heavens and the earth, and he said, "I'm coming to serve." He created the heavens and the earth. Don't forget that. Now, we're talking about the highest of the high. The highest of the high, and he said, "I'm coming to serve." We're talking about the holiest of the holy. And he said, "I'm coming to serve." The mightiest of the mighty said, "I'm coming to serve, and I want you to become a servant as well." So here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, my Savior, your Savior, if you've asked Him to save you and you're living for Him. He says, "I want you to be a servant." And we live in a day and time that it goes against everything the media throws our way. It goes against the self-centeredness of humankind and mankind. And yet Jesus says, "I'm going to set you an example. Here I am, the holy, holiest of the holy, the mightiest of the mighty, the highest of the high. I am Jesus Christ. I am the Son of God, and I'm coming to serve, and I want you to become a servant too." So it goes against what we say, and Rick Ferguson wrote this. He said, "Servanthood's not a very popular subject. Servanthood has a cost of personal investment that goes against everything we're taught. Servanthood totally conflicts with the self-centeredness ingrained in every person, and this request to deny all personal desires is never met with excitement. No one wants to hear the call to relinquish all personal rights and privileges. No one wants to accept the challenge to develop a slave's mindset. Servanthood contradicts absolutely everything that's inside us. Everything that is, except the Spirit of God." So if that statement's true, then we need a whole lot of the Spirit of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we'll be controlled by the Holy Spirit and not self-centeredness if we want to be a servant. So according to Jesus here, the way to become great is to become a servant. He said, "Now, I've got some of these disciples that I've picked, and you know that story, and I want you to help me in ministry." And even in those men, they were jockeying, if you will, for a position. A mother of these right here came in this scripture and said, "Hey, can you get my son in, one on your right and one on your left side in your kingdom," and so on and so forth, wanting a position, wanting prestige, wanting power for her sons. And Jesus said to you, "You don't even know what you're asking here," but still yet, that happens today. the mother of Zebedee's son came to Jesus and asked that question, and can they be on the right or the left, or sons? And he says, you don't know what you're talking about, or asking. And then the other ten, they got kind of mad. Not kind of mad, they got indignant, the scripture says, with the two brothers after they heard what was going on. So now Jesus, the original servant, and all we know about him, then we can look to Paul. And you read a lot about Paul. And, you know, he was a Pharisee, he was educated, he had power, he was proud, that kind of thing. But you know what happened to Paul? He had an encounter with Jesus Christ. When Paul had this encounter with Christ, things changed. Words like he was transformed happened. When we're saved by the blood of Jesus, then we too are to be what? Transformed. We're to be different. We're to be changed. We're to be serving God. Not just saying we're Christians, but living it out day in and day out and being servants of the Most High God. Paul, he had an encounter. Chuck Swindoll writes this in his book, Improving Your Serve. He says that it's possible to have the notion that the Apostle Paul rammed his way through life like a fully loaded battleship at sea, blasting and pounding toward objects he was just too busy and important to worry about, the little people or those that got in his way. After all, he was Paul. But the false impression begins to fade when you read how he began each and every correspondence with the words Paul, a servant, or Paul, a bond slave. So Paul found this contentment and peace and joy because of a servant's heart. He was looking outward instead of inward. And America is eat up with looking inward. You're a part of America. I'm a part of America. You say, well, now wait a minute, preacher. You saying I'm inward focused? Yes, I am to some degree. All of us are to some degree. Some more than others. And I would ask you to be outward focused. I have to remind myself. The Holy Spirit reminds me to look outward. Outward. Here we are today, however many's gathered here. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. But it's so easy for us to get focused as a church on us. You're very important to the kingdom. You're important to God. You're important to me. You're important to the body of Christ. But we must look beyond ourselves. We must look beyond the walls. We must look outward to people who are truly lost and unsaved. And unless they get saved, they're going to hell according to Scripture. We must be outward focused. And it's so hard. Church after church fights the same battle. It's not just us, but churches across the land. Now, some do better than others, but we all have to fight that inwardness. Our little group, so to speak. We should be looking outward. There's people who need Jesus. There's people that we need to ask to come to this church. There's people we need to invite to come here and look outward. Will you be a servant this week of the Most High God? And you say, well, I am. I'm saved. I'm living a Christian life. Thank you for doing it. The Lord appreciates it. But will you look outward? When you go to work, when you go to school, when you go to college, when you go to these places, will you look outward? Would you think, I'm going to be a servant of God today? I'm going to bring the name of Jesus up in conversation today. I'm not asking you to preach to everybody you see, but I am asking you to live the life, asking myself to bring up the name of Jesus in a conversation wherever I may be, wherever this week takes you. Well, the servanthood that we're talking about here, he calls us to be separate. He says, I want you to be different from the world. I want you to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ the Lord. Look with me in Philippians 2 on the screen. It says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete and be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Look out for that other person too. And boy, that goes against what we hear every day. Oh, I want peace. I want joy. All of us want that. And I believe that we'll find that satisfaction. We'll find that contentment within our soul and within our heart when we know we're in service to the King. Now, we do that in a lot of different ways, but I believe it brings that peace and joy. And I know the opposite of that is when we do not forgive, when we hold grudges, when we hold on to bitterness, when we won't forgive a brother or sister in the Lord, then we get in trouble. And when we refuse to forgive and forget and to move on, there's a seed, and it'll grow, and before long, whatever that circumstance was can turn into bitterness, and it will eat us inside out. I'm convinced, and you don't have to agree, but there's a lot of sicknesses and a lot of health issues in this day and time brought on by unforgiveness. That people have held on to grudges. They've held on to them in their families. Families have split. Marriages have split. Churches have split. All because something started out and somebody refused to forgive. And it went on and got bigger and bigger and bigger. Oh, they might smile at you. They might pat you on the back even. And be fairly close to you. But in the depths of the heart. And what is really seen by God. And there's that bitterness and that root that's tearing them inside out. It's worse than a cancer. We must forgive. We must move on. If you're holding a grudge today against your mate, spouse, husband, wife, children, whatever, brother, sister, whoever, I ask you in the name of Jesus to get rid of it. There is no place for it. It will tear you inside out. We must forgive. We must move on with life. Paul's ministry we referred to. How many times did he have to forgive? How many were on Paul's hate list? Well, I don't think he had a hate list. You know, somebody said, you're on the list over here. I don't think Paul had a hate list. Now, could he have had? Yes, he could have. Hey, could it have been a long list? You better believe it. You know the stories of Paul. But I don't think he had one. I think he forgave. And I think he went on. And he says, you know, how many times am I supposed to forgive? You know, that question was asked. Look with me at Matthew 18, 21 and 22. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Whatever it takes to get the job done. We need to be forgiving people and not hanging on to hurts and grudges and that kind of thing. We got to let it go. How about Ephesians on the screen, 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Just as God forgave me, just as Jesus forgave me of sin, I'm to forgive other people. And I don't know about you, but I know about me. When He forgave me, He forgave me. He had a lot to forgive, and I had nothing to offer Him. But He offered me the great plan of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and I took Him up on it. And He said, okay, I'm forgiving you. I extend to you grace, I extend to you mercy, and I extend to you forgiveness, and you're forgiven of sin. And that's what He did for me, and that's what He did for you too, if you're saved. He did that for you. And He says, now I want you to forgive other people. Not we could get into all these rabbit trails. Well, it's not easy. You don't know what they did, and I understand that. I've lived some of that. You've lived some of that. But it does not change the fact we must forgive and must give that grace to other people. Contentment is a sign of a servant's heart and the blessing that comes with it. Micah 7:19 on the screen says, "You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." And somebody added to that and said, "You need to put up a sign that says, 'No fishing.'" In other words, don't go to the sea of where your sins have been buried and start fishing them out. Don't try to pull them back out. Well, the devil brought it to my mind, or somebody reminded me of my old sin. All that happens, leave it alone. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. God's dealt with it. He forgets them. And we go on with life, all because of what Jesus has done. Well, Paul said, I've got to forget what's behind here. That's a popular verse in Philippians. Look at it with me on the screen. Philippians 3. "Now, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." We're going forward. You can think of story after story in your own life, in your family. You can think of story after story in the Bible. I bring you one, Joseph. You remember him. You remember him, his story in the Old Testament in Genesis. You remember how his brothers sold him into slavery. You remember all that he could have done. But old Joseph, he forgave. You say, well, that's a sad story. That's a selfish story. There's all kinds of stories. But the bottom line, he forgave his brothers. And God used him in a mighty way because he was able to forgive and to forget. Last slide this morning, four words: giving, forgiving, forgetting, and serving. To be a servant of the Most High God, to be a servant of Jesus Christ, our Lord, there's no greater thing on this earth than to be a servant of Jesus. And if you looked around, you would think otherwise. In the land that we live in, you would think that it would be greater to be on all these things over here. And we could name pleasure after pleasure after pleasure after pleasure. We could name ball game after ball game and activity after activity, that it would appear that there's so much time and attention thrown in those areas of life. And we all have things we like to do. Nothing wrong with a lot of them. But we, the Christian people of this land, the Christ followers, the one who says, "I serve Jesus Christ," we are to be servants of the Most High God. We are to be the servants of Jesus Christ the Lord. We owe our life to the one who died for us, to the one who said, "I'm going to give you grace and mercy and peace and forgiveness. I have provided that for you, and I want you in turn to live for me and to be a servant of mine, to do things that would produce, that would help in the kingdom of God for it to go forward." Are you a servant of the Most High God today? Oh, I know many of you are. And I thank God for how you serve in His kingdom. I thank God for the time that you give, that ministry can go forward right here. Just this morning, there was a lot of people serving. I come in about the same time every Sunday, the first time, and get the building open and lights on and all that kind of stuff. I go on back to the house to do my thing, and then I get here the second time, just kind of like clockwork, week after week. And when I get here, a lot of things have already been done. People's already come through, did this, that, or the other. Sunday school teacher after Sunday school teacher down the hall has prepared a lesson and served. People on this stage are practicing and using their gifts and talents for the kingdom, serving to help us come to this place and worship God today. And wasn't it good? Wasn't it good to sing those songs? Wasn't it good to hear, lay down your burdens? Praise God. Lay them down to somebody who can do something about them. I have to lay them down sometimes, don't you? I just got to lay them down where they need to be because I'm not big enough, even though I'm getting to be a little bigger, it seems, every day. I'm not big enough to carry my own burdens, much less the burdens of my family and the burdens of a congregation. I'm telling you, it does not lie within me to carry all that, and it doesn't lie within you to carry all that. But praise be unto God, there is one who we can take it to. There is one who's bigger than all. And he says, hey, bring them on up here to me. And lay them down because I am the true and living God. Jesus says, I am the great I am. I am Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh yes, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I love you. And I know where you're at today. See, I don't know where you're at today. Oh, you look pretty, you look handsome, you look fine. Alabama's happy, LSU's sad, and all of life happens. And I don't know what's in your mind and your heart. But praise be unto God, Jesus does. Jesus does. You can smile at me real big and I think, boy, they're happy today. And in the depths of your heart be carrying burden after burden and hurt after hurt and things that I know nothing about. But there is one, and his name is Jesus Christ the Lord, and he can get the job done. Aren't you glad for him? Aren't you glad for Jesus Christ the Lord? The one we're to point people to. The one we're to say this, all this Jones Chapel Church of God business is to him. All this ministry or what we are here belongs to Jesus. The subject is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the subject. And we're to point people to him because he can handle it. He can handle the situations, the joys, and the burdens of life. He can handle them. And for me, to be a servant of the Most High God is an honor and it's a privilege. And I hope you feel that way. Whatever you do, if you're a child of the living God, you are his servant. A lot of it's behind the scenes, a lot of it's up front, but serve him. How are you serving him? How are you serving his church? What's going on with you? Well, only you know that. Lay down your burden, you know. Can you do it again? I believe you can. And when the Spirit hits you, just go into amazing grace. I believe you can do that too, can't you? They can do anything. This is a snap of a finger. They can do it all. If you'll stand with me this morning, we'll sing that again about laying your burdens down. I'm so glad that I started to say something when some was at the altar earlier, and I thought, you don't need to say anything. The Spirit's taking care of that itself. Anytime the altars are open, you know that here. It don't have to be at altar call. But like some comes whenever the singing was going on or what have you. Listen to me today. I don't know what's in your heart or your mind, but I love you as your pastor. And more importantly, Jesus Christ loves you. So whatever it is in life with you today, would you do business with God? You know, you can come and smile at me like I said, and I think, well, they're happy today. Everything's well with them. But we know that don't really get down here to what's really going on. I invite you to talk to Jesus today. You can do it in your pew. You can do it right here in front of this piano, and I won't bother you. But if you'd like somebody to pray with you right over here on this row or on this altar, you're welcome to come, and we'll pray with you. I encourage you to be a servant of God, whatever that means for you. And if you need encouraging today, would you just bow your head in your pew and ask God to do that for you? If you know there's a sin in your heart or your life today, would you get rid of it and say, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ, the one who knows it all, the one who has the power to help me in all of life. So let's pray. And I just ask you to listen to what the Spirit says this day. Our Father in heaven, it has been a great time to be in your house this day. Lord, I sat in Sunday school and I heard all those requests. And quite frankly, I thought, gee whiz, this is just one Sunday school class, and listen to all these needs. And I thought, well, we serve a mighty big God. We come in this sanctuary and we sing and praise you. Oh, it's been good. It's been good to sing that we can lay our burdens down. So, Father, we praise you and we love you. And I just ask that we will be real and genuine in our hearts and life. In the pew or in an altar, if we need to confess sin, that we'll do it. If we need help in an area of life, that we'll come and rely upon your Spirit this morning. Place upon our hearts and our minds the way you would have us to serve you. It may be up front where everybody sees. It may be behind the scenes that nobody ever knows about. But Lord, help us to serve you. Meet our needs today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.